We're going to start with one of my favorite verses today. Today is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And I can't think a better way of rejoicing than with the children. So I am going to call all the children forward to help us begin rejoicing this morning. And as they're coming up, I just thought I would let you know that it will all become clear what those little pieces of paper are in just a couple of minutes. This is one of the things that I'm in awe of on Sunday mornings when I see all these wonderful children and youth come up for the story and join us here. It is a blessing to have you all here. And we're kind of going to be talking about that today. Pastor Gary's going to be talking about a very specific verse that I'm sure you all know. How many of you have heard the words, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart"? Has anybody heard that before? What do you think that means? Does anybody have an idea? I'm going to give you a picture in your mind of what it came to mind when I was doing this story. You know when you've got a balloon and you're blowing air in it? What happens as you keep blowing it up and up and up? What happens? It expands, right? And I think God fills us with his love. And we expand and expand and expand. And what happens then? What happens when there's too much air? It bursts and it fills everything around you with whatever it's filled with. In that case, air. But in our case, our hearts, it's with love, right? God's love comes in through us, grows and grows and grows, and then it goes to all the people around us. And I kind of wanted to talk about when I walk to work and some of the things that fill me with that love and joy of God. It takes me 3 minutes to walk to work. I'm very lucky. I only live half a block from my work, so it's very quick. However, in those 3 minutes, it's amazing what you can all see about God's love and what he does for us. So I'll walk out of the door, and there will be a squirrel chirping there. So I carry on, and then there's a bunny. It goes around my garden. And then I walk down the back lane, and I see the snow glistening like diamonds when the light shines on it a certain way, which I think is just stunning. And then I'll meet a neighbor, and I'll say, "Hey, how are you?" Sometimes then it takes a little bit longer to get to work, but nonetheless. So what is our response to some of these wonderful things? Sometimes when I see the squirrel, I go, "I really wonder what you're chattering about. Are you happy to see me, or are you saying, 'Hey, where can I find my next acorn?' Or how come these blackberries aren't growing right now?" And then the bunny hops away as if to hide and startled by my presence and just tries to sneak away unnoticed. But we notice it. And then the sparkling snow, it's like all the stars in the sky. And then knowing that you've got a neighbor that you can talk to and say, "Hey, how's it going? So nice to see you." So those are some of the blessings that a 3-minute walk to work can show us. What kind of blessings do each of you have in your lives? Can you think about that for a minute? And as they're thinking about that, I want you as adults to think about some of the blessings that God has given you to show you his love and things that you want to share with us. Because what we're going to do is we're going to write something down from each of the kids, and we'd like you to write something down, and we're going to create a blessings collage during the service so that we can all see it at the end of the day. You know, life isn't all blessings, but I think we want to focus on those right now and see all the good things that God's love has given us and how we radiate that love to others. So that's what I want you all to do. And while we'll just take some of the kids' ones now, and you guys can write down as well. And then, actually, Alyssa, do you want to write some down? And we're going to go to each one of you. How about we start with you? It can be anything. It can be a baby brother or sister. It could be baking with Oma. It could be going to the beach in summer, having a ball to play soccer with. It can be anything. Does anybody have something already? Yeah. Friends, absolutely. That's an awesome one. So I'm going to write down friends here. I'll give you a pen, Alyssa. Who's going to go next?
What is it?
Family, absolutely. Outside. The outdoors are amazing, and that encompasses so many things. Who else? Oh, there you go. You can write that one down, Alyssa. Having your own room. Okay, what about you? The park? Absolutely. The park, and we're just going to put it in the basket here. Anybody else? Okay. Having people to play with. That's always fun, isn't it? People to play with. Okay. You can write that one down. Anybody else? Christian. The lake. You can write that one. Hey.
How about you? How about sitting with Oma? Is that a blessing for you?
I would say so. Will you agree?
Sitting with Oma?
That's a good one, hey? Well, we know Oma loves that too. Did I miss anybody?
There's a couple of people? Okay.
Swimming. I love swimming too. You gonna get that one?
Anybody else behind you? Sitting with Opa?
Swimming with Opa. There we go. Now, does Opa kind of throw you around in the water as well? He always throws you. That's the best part, eh? Okay.
Anybody else? Anybody else want to share?
That's okay, because I'm sure we all have a lot of things in our minds. So we're going to start with that. And then I'm going to ask Alyssa and Christian, if you can go up and down the aisles and collect the ones from the people in the congregation so that we can create a blessings collage. And while you're doing that, we're going to sing Love the Lord Your God. Now, do you all know that song? Sort of. Let's see. Do we have a bulletin here with the words? Here's one. Maybe we'll get a couple of bulletins. Just the fourth. Are we ready? Everybody can sing with us. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and love of all mankind as you would love yourself, and love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and mind, and love all mankind. We've got Christian lives to live, we've got Jesus' love to give, we've got nothing to hide, because in Him we are found. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and love all mankind as you would love yourself, and love the Lord your God with all your heart. So let's think of our blessings as we go to Sunday school. We all have Sunday school today, right? Oh, you know what? Hang on. I've got some stickers here for each of you to remember today. What does the heart mean? Love. I'm just going to stick it on your shirt so that you can remember that for the day. There we go. All right. Hey, good morning, everybody. The order of service is a little bit different, so it's although I like to change things up a little bit, it kind of makes things a little bit, what's coming up next? So I'd like to welcome you all here this morning. Are there any guests that would like to be introduced, or would anybody like to introduce any guests today? Well, welcome very much. It's great to see that you're playing with Christy as well, and thank you for coming, both of you. Welcome to our church. Hope you enjoy the service. I know we're going to enjoy the playing for sure. Is there anybody else who would like to be introduced? Okay, then we will carry on and have the ladies play for us. Thank you. you. That's lovely. Music has such a soothing effect. And as we get into our community life, I think I'd actually like to start with all the people that need your prayers, need all of our prayers, just because there's an overwhelming list in the bulletin. And those are all the people that we have requested prayers. There's many others that have not, that we also need to think about. But I'd like to make a few additions and changes to those notices in the bulletin. Maria Weems is in Comfort Care. Heidi Schrader is also at Concordia Hospital. Gary Hebert's surgery is actually going to be happening in February, not March. And this morning, we received news that Henry Klein has passed away. So in addition to those, please look over the list and we'll include them in our prayers a little bit later on. As we think about the blessings, we also need to think about how we can bless others with our prayers and our care and words of kindness and gentleness as well. Now, is there anybody who would like to share or add anything to our church community? Elizabeth?
Is this on?
Ooh, it is. Hi, I'm Elizabeth. I just wanted to share a little bit about our son, Jacob, who unexpectedly had a surgery last weekend. Everything went really well. I think you would have seen him here this morning. He's still experiencing a little bit of discomfort, but he's definitely on the way to healing. And we thank you all for your prayers. We really appreciate it.
Great news. Thanks, Elizabeth. It was good to see him up here. I was, oh, there you are. Would anybody else like to share anything? Okay, if not, then I'm just going to highlight a couple of the bulletin announcements. Please read through all of them so that you're aware of what's going on. Our AGM is next week. And there are still volunteers required to fill some of the positions, so I'd just like to remind everybody about that. I see the Borscht lunch is back on, so that's something to look forward to. So mark your calendars for February 14th, Valentine's Day. There's a fundraiser through Westgate, and then there's a couple of other musical events that are coming up, and one that I noticed is the Pops Classics and Jigs performed by the Winnipeg Pops Orchestra. That's taking place next Sunday as well at First Mennonite Church. And that's going to be, donations will be going to support Indigenous relations. And I actually know one of the members of the orchestra, so it's great to see that they're performing at a church service and doing a wonderful volunteer service for the community. And it's under the directorship of a new choir director this year. Anybody else want to highlight an event from the church that's going on? Yes?
Hi, this is Sarah, and I forgot to put into the bulletin that the ladies please come on Saturday morning at 9 o'clock to help prepare for the luncheon at the AGM meeting.
Okay, if no one else would like to share anything, let's close our eyes and fold our hands and say a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for the sundogs that appear in the bitter cold, for the little animals whose presence is visible by the tracks made in the sparkling snow, for the lengthening days, the promise of the upcoming season, for this building in which we can worship freely and without fear, for our family, friends, church family, and community, continually striving to understand and follow your teaching. Father, we ask that you provide peace and comfort for the members listed in the bulletin, those in hospital, extended care, recovering at home, and those awaiting medical attention. There are many others not listed suffering with physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual ailments. Surround them with your love, soothing them with your healing presence. Be with us now as we receive your message, a message of love. May we take this message with us today and throughout the week. Amen. And now we'll have the offering. Thank you.
morning. All right, I will be reading from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, with all your strength. These commandments that I give to you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the doorframes of your houses and on your gates. And Mark chapter 12, verse 28 to 34. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked them, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. So the second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well," said the teacher. The man replied, "You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared to ask him any more questions.
Well, I don't know about you, but I would be just as happy for the next 20 minutes to listen to Christy and Jessica play than to listen to some guy talking at the front. That was just wonderful. Talk about gifts of God. I mean, music. And then music played with passion. Just wonderful. So for a start, I've got a confession to make to you. I mostly think of myself as a positive person. In fact, I think of myself as a hopeless optimist most of the time. Until it comes to sermons. Because I think the reason I do this is because I preach the sermons at myself and I get them negative. And so I usually have to write a sermon twice. Once to get out there what's on my heart and the next time to turn it upside down so it's really what it should be. And I'm not sure I've got this one all the way turned upside down. So this is one of those incredibly wonderful positive Sundays, as you've been hearing from Linda. And I just might pour a little water on that. So if it is, just sort of think upside down and you've got it, okay? Let's pray. Thank you, God, for all that you do give us, for your love, which continues to shower down on us. There are times we lose sight of that, when things happen that are hard and that are hurtful, when things happen that we didn't want, that are disappointing. We sometimes lose sight of that. So help us to remember, even in the difficult times, to see your incredible love. Amen. There's a... We upstage right off the top. There is a wonderful story. Well, it's an awkward story. That's what it is. There's an awkward story in the book of Luke that I would like to share with you. So Jesus is going through town and some Pharisees come along and say, "Hey, why don't you come over for dinner?" And he says, "Sure." And so he goes over for dinner and they sit down at the table. They always say they recline at the table in the Bible. The reason is they have these tables which were about this tall, about 2 feet tall, and all around them were these kind of things. And they would lay down on these couches and speak. Is this thing working? Yeah? Okay. So those of you who are pretending aren't listening are doing intentionally. I'm watching. Anyhow, so they're reclining on these couches, and they're having their conversation, and then the servants are coming in and out and bringing them food and so forth. And all of a sudden, this woman walks in. And Luke calls her a sinful woman. And even us, naive, innocent little Mennonites, know what that's about, right? Applying the world's oldest profession. So she walks into the room and she walks over to Jesus and she's crying. And she uses her tears to wash his feet. and then she dries them with her hair, which is probably a spectacle too, because women always had their hair up. She lets it down. She dries his feet with her hair, and then she kisses his feet. And I don't know about the rest of you, but if this is a movie, that's the time I go to see what's in the fridge. This gets awkward, right? And then she starts pouring perfume on his feet. And Jesus is sitting there, and one of the Pharisees, his name is Simon, is thinking, if this was a prophet, he would know what kind of a woman that was. Which makes you think Simon wasn't a prophet, and he knew what kind of woman that was. How'd that happen? Anyhow, we'll leave Simon's problems aside for today. So Jesus looks at him, and he says, Simon, can I tell you something? He said, sure. Fire away. He said, so these are two guys who owe the bank money. One guy owes like a truckload of money, and the other guy owes a little bit. And the banker, for whatever happened, obviously not SCU, the banker says to them, I'm going to forgive the money you owe. It's gone. Done. So then Jesus says, which of these guys loved his banker more? Gotta watch out for questions which are too easy to answer because there's always something behind them, right? So, which of, and he says, well, you know, hedging his bets a bit. I suppose the guy who got forgiven more. And Jesus usually leaves things alone and lets people figure out what he's saying, but this time he wants to make sure they catch it. So he says, a couple of things I want to say to you, he said. And just a little narration on the side here. In Jesus' day, when people would come to somebody's house, they would always give them a bowl of water to wash their feet because they've been out there walking, it's dusty. And it was just a sort of a kindness that they offered, hospitality. And Jesus says to Simon, I came here. You didn't give me a bowl to wash my feet. You sure didn't wash my feet yourself. But this lady washed my feet with her tears and dried my feet with her hair. What an incredible act of humility and love. Another narration. In Jesus' time, when people would come in, if they were a friend of yours, they would kiss you on the cheek, on both cheeks. And Jesus says to Simon, I walked in here. You didn't give me a kiss on the cheek. This lady's been kissing my feet for the last how long? What an incredible act of love and humility. Third little narration. They would also take, when important people came especially, they would put a little oil on their heads as to signify that they were special. Jesus says, I came here, excuse me, and you didn't put any oil on my head. But this lady has poured perfume on my feet. So what's happening here? What's happening in this story? The person who loved much, loves in response, or the person who's forgiven much, etc. So, if we read through the passage in Luke chapter 7, verse 47, indicates that she had met Jesus somewhere along the way and had been forgiven. Now, we don't have that story unless we want to suggest that this lady is somebody that we know. But if Jesus treated her like Jesus treated everybody else that was considered disposable in that community, like the woman at the well, or the woman caught in the act of adultery, or Zacchaeus, or the lepers, or any of the other people that he cared about, when she encountered Jesus, she would have encountered respect and dignity and caring and hope and a future. She would have experienced love. And she walked away from that experience, changed to the point where she barged into this party and did this. What an incredible act. She loved in response to the love that she received. Now, Simon and the other Pharisees, if you said, well, why don't you love? They would have said, what are you talking about? We love more than anybody because the Bible brings together loving God and obeying the commandments very often, right? So they said, I mean, these guys didn't just obey the Ten Commandments. Every tiny little law that might be in the Bible or they thought might be in the Bible, they obeyed it. And so who was loving more? for sure the Pharisees said, this tramp who walks into our house and we have the courtesy not to chuck her out, and you're saying she loves more than we do? Deuteronomy chapter 6. The teacher of the law comes to Jesus and says, so when you boil it all down, what do you got? What's sort of bottom line commandment that kind of brings it all together? Jesus said, easy. It's called the Shema. Shema means listen. And it comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, which it said, listen, Israel. Listen, Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Mark tucked that one in. It wasn't in Deuteronomy. And with all your strength. Love with everything you've got. Love with your emotions and your desires. Love with the basic inner you that drives you, the things that are really important to you, the way that you spend your money and your time and the things you watch on TV and the way you deal with your friends and everything else. Love with your mind, with your reason and your knowledge. Sometimes people want to leave their mind out of faith. And love with strength. Somebody suggested strength should be written. It should be written with reckless abandon. Don't you love that? Love God with reckless abandon. It's exactly what that woman did when she came into that room. She did not care what anybody else thought. She came to love God in Jesus because she had been loved. This last while, I've been at Bethany Manor a few times for reasons. People were very, very ill. And I saw pictures, little tiny bit of a picture of what it means to love with everything you've got. I was sitting there and talking with Nita Klein, and I said, every day you come, 10 o'clock till 6 o'clock, every day. Just like Annie Bergen comes every day to visit. So I said to Nita, oh my, that's so much. She looks at me and she said, what? 66 years ago, I made a promise and it hasn't changed. Still love this guy. Love with reckless abandon. When we love with everything we got, it needs to start as with the woman, with the relationship. It starts by experiencing God's love. That was the problem with the Pharisee. Obeying is fine, but we start by knowing God and experiencing the love that God pours in us. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. We love because He first loved us. Earlier in the chapter, in 1 John chapter 4, it says, we understand love because we've experienced God. And that's the point. When we experience God in our lives, all of this starts making sense, and we begin to see the things that you were talking about, Linda. We begin to see the ice crystals and the rabbits and all that stuff. And in that, we smile because we see the hand of God. And it's amazing. Loving God is not, first of all, having right theology. I know some people with right theology who don't know who God is. And many of us are struggling in our theology. We're not sure of some stuff. We're trying to put it together. But we've got a relationship with God, which means that we experience God's love. Doesn't mean we have it all together. We don't. Loving God is not, first of all, obeying all the rules. Take a look at the people that Jesus dealt with. He dealt with people who broke all the rules. And the people who kept all the rules, he kind of said, you guys don't get it. And so I'm not saying we shouldn't obey rules, right? Of course, part of loving God is obeying. But that obeying comes, it bubbles out, like we heard earlier. It bubbles out because we've experienced God's love, touching our hearts, and then it comes. Loving God is not, first of all, about tradition and ritual. Loving God isn't doing things the way we've always done them. Tradition and ritual are wonderful because very often embedded in there are the stories that remind us of what God has done. Loving God begins when we experience God's love. Deuteronomy 4 goes on. And he says, tell it to your children. Tell it to them when they're sitting at the table eating, when you tuck them into bed, when you send them off the door to go to school. Write it on your hand, on your forehead, on the doorpost, on the gate. And you can just see this guy writing anything that comes to his mind. He's just writing it down. Just make it part of your life. What is he making part of a life? Rules? Is list of rules this long nailed to the door frame? No. Reminding them of the story of their experience of God's love. When they would do the Passover, even though it had been hundreds and thousands of years earlier, it was always in the first person. God came to us in captivity, freed us from slavery, fed us in the wilderness, gave us the law. And so we need to stop and say, what is our story? What is the story that we share with our children when we tuck them into bed? Bible stories are wonderful. But somewhere along the way, we need to stop and say, let me tell you my story. My story of God walking with us. I want to tell you how I experienced God's love and how I fell in love with God. And that's why I live the way I do. God's invitation to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind and strength is first of all an invitation for us to experience His love. To come and be enveloped, to be overwhelmed. Here's a little bit of the negative part. Can you deal with that? Okay. You're still smiling, so we'll go with yes. When you're in a marriage, every once in a while, you find yourself, and if this is none of you, then it's a confession, I suppose, you find yourself getting grumpy and not listening to the other person and start adding up in your mind the things you've done and the things they haven't done. And you know where I'm going with this. I don't have to go any further. How do we get there? We get there usually because we're too busy to spend time building our relationship. We get there because we've forgotten why we love this person. And the same thing happens with God. When we find ourselves starting to talk about people instead of pray for them, complain about what goes on instead of encourage, listen to what other people are doing and affirm them instead of telling them, that's not how I do it. When we get there, we got to ask the question. The words of Revelation chapter 2. Has our love gone a little cold? Have we forgotten? How long has it been since we sat down and we said, look at what God has done to make me love who He is. And that spills out in many ways. And I see that spilling out in many of you. Some of you are very excited about the refugees coming and you're getting involved. That's part of it. Some of you invest your time at MCC to help out because you know the money goes to missions. That's part of it. Some of you visit and write cards to people who are sick and make sure you phone people and care about each other. That's part of it. And it goes on and on and on and on. The invitation today is to sit back and remember, God loves you insanely. And you are invited to grab that and to love in return. So here's some more. What I want you to do is, if you are in a home where you can talk with people, I don't mean a home like, then I want you to talk to people and share with each other, what is it that God has done that makes you excited about it? What is it that God has done that makes you love God? And if you're not there, take a piece of paper or your iPhone and write it down. And write down a list of things. And if you've been a little grumpy, start looking at that every day when you get up and just before you go to bed. And it will remind you, like the lady who came to see Jesus, that we need to be wild in our love in response to God. May God fill you with His love as you receive what he has to give, and then let it bubble over to those around. Amen.
Please turn in your hymnals to number 502 in the blue hymnal, and please stand to sing verse 1, 3, and 5 of Spirit of God Descend.
There it is. These are all the things that you said that were things that you had to be grateful for. Thank you so much, Lassa, for putting this on. This together. Really appreciate that very much. We'll bring this to the back so that as you come out, you can take a look at all the things that were on there, and we'll pin it up on the bulletin board for a while. I'd like to invite you to stand for the benediction and stay standing for the last song, please. Now, people of God, who are dearly, dearly loved, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace, so that you can go out and love God with reckless abandon.
Number 389 and verse 1, 2, and 6.